The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And he stepped out on the land, and a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it has seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wild. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there was a hillside. A large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd herders saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come up. What's your name? Stacia. What's your name?
Clara.
Clara. What's your name?
Calvin.
Calvin. What's your name? What was that? Nave. What's your name? Miriam. Names are important in the Bible. Really important. They show signs of love. They show signs of connectedness. They show signs of the power of God. And lots of times in the Bible, after interactions with God, sometimes names even change. Saul has his name changed to Paul. Abram has his name changed to Abraham. Lots of times names change in the Bible because names really matter to God and to you as you live your life. And so think about how much your name means to you and how that name connects you to your family, connects you to the people you love, and how that name connects you to God. Amen. Go in peace. All right. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I get to preach this sermon, finish this service, and I will be gone for 3 weeks. So if you don't like it, you get to spend some time sort of stewing over it and decide whether you want to actually write to me or just let it go. If you love this sermon, you can tell me right after and you can write about it and maybe blog about it and tell your friends how great your pastor is. But I will be gone for 3 weeks after this, so you get to decide what you want to do with what I'm about to do with this text here. Because we find ourselves in the middle of a month that's really important to a lot of people. We have a lot of those people who are in our community. And so let's talk about being set free. And the first place we're going to start when we talk about being set free is, do you know what a dead name is? If you do, raise your hand. If you know what a dead name is. And so you will find in the LGBT community that folks who are trans, and if you need definitions, I even have definitions because I'm working on better understanding this as well. So trans folks are those individuals who emotionally, psychologically, and even at some point physically see themselves as a different gender. You'll hear the term gender fluidity a lot of time. Those are people who sort of see themselves not held in one gender norm, but sort of can move even by the day where they feel either more male, more masculine, or more feminine. And a more broad term is non-binary, which means somebody is not exclusively masculine or feminine and can sort of fit anywhere inside of that terminology. And so a dead name normally happens with somebody in that community. It happens because the name that they were given at birth, the name that their parents loved, was given to them, but it was given in a broken world. It was given without a full understanding of where that child saw themselves. And so that name continued to grind on that person. It continued to be chains that bound that person to a place that wasn't freedom. And so oftentimes people who are trans or people who see themselves as gender fluid or in this non-binary sense will change their name. They'll change their name because it gives them a sense of freedom. It sets them free from this thing that held them in one box and gives them the ability to live more fully in how they understand and see themselves living out the best life God has offered them. It sets them free. It sets them free to be fully in what God has given them. It's actually not unlike God saying to Sarai, your name is now Sarah, because you have something else to do, a greater life and a covenant to live into. Your name is no longer Abram, but it is now Abraham. What is the name that you understand yourself to be? It's Legion. No, it's not. You're set free. This man's name wasn't Legion in the text. The brokenness inside of this man, these things that kept this man apart from God, was Legion. But Christ set that free. And being removed more away from that brokenness was able to sit in a right mind, in comfort, and live into his name, a name we never get in the text, but his name is not legion. The brokenness of the world inside this man is legion. Christ has set that man free. But Jesus shows up to this town. It's right across the river, and he goes over to the Gerasenes. He gets off the boat, and instantly this man is out and faces him, filled with what are called demons, not clothed in, running around, instantly falls before Christ and says, "Do not torment me. Do not torment me." Because brokenness becomes a norm for us. And when we see freedom right in front of us, it scares us. Healthy life scares us. Because we get so used to what our normal is. And our normal normally isn't fully healthy. Do not torment me. But Jesus has no time for that. Jesus is our full understanding of what healthy living in life is, and Jesus says, "What is your name?" Because he wants to name the brokenness within this man. "Legion," the man cries out. And Christ casts out those demons and frees him from this brokenness inside of him, this brokenness that keeps him from seeing his full potential, his full life in the world. But what happens after that? Anybody who has ever spent time actually working on their self-health, spent more time in the Bible, spent more time praying, making themselves more healthy, anybody who has spent any time working out to lose even a couple of pounds knows that instantaneously a lot of unhealthy around you start popping up to pull you back in to what is unhealthy in your life. So the townspeople come out, and all they know is this unhealthy man. But what do they find? They find him clothed and happy and healthy, listening to the words of Christ. And fear seizes them. This man was labeled insane and crazy. They bound him in chains. But they were seized by fear when they saw him healthy. And their response was to tell Christ to get out of here. And oftentimes that's what happens to many of us in our lives. That right when we're on the cusp, of facing that health in our life, it scares us. And our response is to tell Christ, to tell this healthy living to get out of our life. And so we continue to stay stuck. But this man has been set free. And for many people, changing their name to something that gives them this fullness, what their health is going to look like, what their future is going to be, gives them that same sense of freedom moving forward. That they're not willing to be gripped by that anymore. But they still interact with those people who face that with fear. Understandably, parents, they gave a child a name out of love, and that child now realizes that's not their name, that's not a name that gives them freedom. And it can be fearful for parents. And I say, trust the Lord. Trust that the Lord is active in this renaming. Trust that it's just like the Lord saying, your name is no longer Sarai. Your name is no longer Saul. Your name is no longer Abram. But that the Lord is taking part in this transition into the future. Respond as people who are with Christ. Because we make that statement, brothers and sisters, that we are with Christ, not like the folks in this community who, when they come out and they see Jesus and they see what Jesus has done, their response is to send Christ away. They want nothing to do with it. But that we say we are with Christ and we are a community that operates in the way Christ operates. And so being people who are with Christ, who have been grafted into all that the Father has sent into the world, let us be open to embrace more fully a community that is often not embraced in our community. Let us be people who are with Christ, to be open to the changing of names, to be open to what Christ might be up to in the changing of how a person perceives themselves, how a person lives their life fully in Christ's love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, verse 39 says to us, in Christ's words, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. How much God has done for you. And so let us live fully in what God has done for us by allowing others to live into that fullness as well. To the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the freedom He has granted all of us. Amen.